Blog Talk Radio.
How are you tonight?
Wow, that was awesome. I'm in with my block. I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. This is like our second segment of Kay Bookman, the Power Hour, so I'm really, really excited. So what do we have in store tonight?
Oh, man. Okay, this man, hilarity, playwright, phenomenal weight loss story, Mr. Jay Carter will be joining us tonight, so we're going to get in tune with him and find out about his path that has led him to pursuing his dream of becoming a playwright.
Yes. Weight loss? Well, I definitely need to talk to him about that because I need to lose, like, at least 150 pounds. Seriously.
Oh, stop it. You want to disappear? Really? You want to be invisible? I don't think that the whole, you know, this is going to work out for you if you want to be invisible. Really, I mean. I'm just saying. And then you kicked off Ustream last weekend. How are you going to Ustream Invisible? I mean, that's even worse. Come on.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, I will be invisible, the invisible lady. Okay, I'll be like, tune in. Can you see me? Can you see me? No, but that's absolutely extraordinary. But they say, from the research that I've done, that men can lose weight faster than women anyway for some
it's
particular
true.
Reason.
I've seen this research in my own household. It is true.
Don't you just hate it?
It's an agonizing truth, yes.
Oh, my goodness. I wonder why that is. I have to dig a little deeper than that, you know, but maybe it's because we have the children. I don't know. I've got to figure that one out.
Yeah, I don't know, but for whatever reason, that's very disgusting. Very discouraging, but good for them.
It is. To all the men out there, I don't like you right now. I'm kidding. I love you all.
We love you. If we're talking to a man tonight, we love
okay?
you.
Okay? I don't like him anymore. No, I'm just kidding. I love you, and I'm excited, and I can't wait till he comes on. So in addition to talking to him tonight, we're going to be also talking to some of the amazing actors and actresses.
Yes, we're going to be speaking with several cast members of his upcoming play, Make Time for Love. It is debuting October 6th in Atlanta. So we'll be speaking with several cast members and just finding out a little background about the different roles that they play, which will be pretty cool to give us the total perspective. So
yes.
I'm excited about it.
Exactly. So while we're waiting for him to give a call in, for everyone who's tuned in for the first time, Kay Bookman, do you want to give them a little summary about what to expect on a Kay Bookman Hour?
I certainly will. Really, what I hope is that this segment makes people dust off those dreams, that it renews that little spark inside, that little thing they've always wanted to do but thought it was impractical, that they turn back to it, that they begin to embrace and develop it. that their passion and destiny would come to fruition, you know, and that the destination would be clear. The path will come as long as you're moving. And so what I want to do with the Power Hour is just talk to people that are pursuing these various dreams and get in touch with that, because what that does for me is it makes me encouraged, and it makes me want to go out and try different things. So I hope to have that, that this segment would have that effect on everyone else as well.
Yay. I mean, how yummy was that? It was just like a whole bunch of great ingredients in a bowl mixed up, and boom, there you have it, the Kay Bookman, the Power Hour. So for all those who are tuned in for the first time, we just want to welcome you to the Kay Bookman, the Power Hour. We also encourage you guys, if you want to, you know, call in, dial in at 818-495-6975, and you'll be live with Kay Bookman and myself. Or you can voice your opinion in our interactive chat room that is open live on every show. And I will read every comment, or try to anyway, in between laughs. In between laughs. Yeah. That will happen. That will definitely happen. So, Kay,
yes,
our man of the hour. He got a few more minutes before he calls in. Should we play the track? Or should we
sure.
wait?
Well, I have a short intro. I was going to say, or we could just play the track. That would be a nice way for him to enter in, and then we can throw to the intro.
Yay. So do you want to introduce the track?
Give me 1 second.
No, that's okay. Remember, guys, you can dial in at 818-495-6975, and you'll be live with Kay Bookman and myself. And the track is Make Time for Love, if I'm not mistaken, by Jay Michelle.
Yes, Make Time for Love by Jay Michelle.
Absolutely. So tune in, guys, and let us know what you think about it. I'm kind of digging the song. It has to go to my iTunes list. So here we go. Yeah, so that was Make Time for Love by J. Michelle. Shout out to her. Pretty song. I loved it.
Yes, beautiful.
I love it, you know. She's like, hey, I make time to wash the dishes. I make time to pray. I don't want to make time to wash the dishes ever. That's why I don't cook. But I do get the relevance of the song, and I think it's a pretty song. And she has a nice voice, so I will leave it in rotation. And for all those who want to check it out, again, it's J. Michelle, Make Time for Love. Yay, J. Michelle. So we're waiting for the man of the hour to give us a call in. And if you're on the line because the lines are all lit up, press 1 so we can get you right on. Okay. Nobody move too soon. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, okay. There we go. We have him. So, Ms. Kay Bookman, would you like to introduce your guest of the evening?
I would love to. Okay, I spoke with everybody a few minutes ago about how seeing people find their purpose and passion and go after it inspires me. Well, I've had the privilege of experiencing just that with tonight's guest, Mr. Jay Carter. One of the first things that struck me about him was his incredibly witty but frank sense of humor. This man is funny, like hold your side, can't catch your breath, spit your coffee out, hilarious. He's also a loving father and a testament to human fortitude, as we will find out later on in our chat, due to his phenomenal weight loss story, and the managing partner and director of creative development for Purpose by Design Media Group. So let's have him pace out the road for us, from literary scholar to human resources exec to deeply inspired and heavily acclaimed playwright, Mr. J. Carter. Welcome to the Power Hour.
Hello, 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 hello. That is, I can die right now.
Don't do it. We need to interview you.
But I can just drop straight to the floor. Like, anything else in my life is going to be a disappointment after the introduction. Thank you, Kay. Thank you so much.
I know, right? But don't die yet, Jay. Not until we interview you. No, I'm just
okay, all right. Yeah,
wait,
I know.
No,
you know, it might boost your ratings up, though. You never know. You never know.
Stop it. Do not start already, please.
I'm so happy to be here, guys. I really am, and I'm honored that you all, you know, thought enough of me to allow me to come onto your show. So, yeah, I'm ready. Let's go. I'm excited.
Yay.
Oh, all right. Put him in the game. Well, everything was true. I mean, you do. You inspire me deeply, and I've told you that before because, I mean, you went from just being somebody who made me crack up all the time and being an adorable dad. I love doting dads. And all of a sudden, you started tweeting about your plays. I'm like, wait, whoa, playwright, where did that come from? It's like you just went after it. And that inspired me so much, and I'm so proud of you. I mean, you're on your second play now. It's just been beautiful to be along for the process.
Well, you know, fatherhood, marriage, stage plays, it's all a labor of love, and actually, just to, you know, not to take over the show, but I'd be remiss if I did not wish my wife of 4 years a happy birthday today. Today's her birthday.
Oh, happy birthday!
Shout out to John Carter and give her some love because today is her birthday. But yeah, this it's a huge labor of love, and yeah, the stage plays they were always in my heart. Just never on paper, and just one day I was watching. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of a movie called 500 Days of Summer, but it stars Zooey Deschanel, and I was watching that movie, and that movie like changed my life. Just the writing and the dialogue, and just the interaction between the actors. I mean, it literally. It's funny what changes your life on a day-to-day basis, you know, and what doesn't change it for another person or change it for somebody else. But that particular movie, I was sitting at home, and I was like, you know what? I could do that. I really feel like I can do that. And after that, it was just, you know, making my mind up to get to it and, you know, crumpling up a lot of paper and throwing it out and deleting a lot of Microsoft Word documents. But eventually, you know, we hit up on something, and it was time to roll with it.
Wow. Okay. Now, you grew up in Oklahoma City, correct, or was it outside of Oklahoma City?
No, I actually was born in Oklahoma City, and that's what I claim as home. I moved around to a lot of places because my dad actually worked for the federal government, so we were able We have the advantage and the disadvantage of moving somewhere every 2 years. And it was great because we always were, you know, I was able to just adapt to any environment, situation, because, you know, and it was, mm-hmm. that's where my sense of humor came from, because that was the key to me kind of getting in with being the new person always every 2 years. Okay, well, let the sense of humor hook them. But at the same time, you know, you really don't have a, you really can't plant roots too much of anywhere. But yes, I was born in Oklahoma and actually moved away when I was 5 years old, but that kind of tells you how we lived a kind of like a nomadic existence, because just the place that I was at for 5 years, that's the place that I'll call home. So yeah, I definitely claim Oklahoma City as my home, definitely.
I was wondering about your literary aspirations.
Mm-hmm.
Did you try to kind of keep them under wraps, or because I was reading about the potential that your teacher saw in you? Did you kind of shrug it off and try to keep it under wraps and play it cool, or did you just embrace your calling just from jump?
I was a very shy person, and you know, when you talked about the intestinal fortitude, okay, you know, and you know, Miss P, she kind of hit up on it, but you know, part of that whole backstory that we're going to touch on a little bit later, that was the reason why I was so shy, and so I didn't really like let my personality out. So I internalized it, and you know, when you internalize something, what's the only other way to get it out? And people won't see it. You know, you're either gonna talk to yourself, and then people will say you're schizophrenic, or you can just write it down on paper and get it out and express yourself that way. So I chose to write it out on paper because, you know, it's a lot.
I'd rather be called schizophrenic.
Well, you know, they say, hey, the most talented people are crazy, so claim it.
Absolutely. Exactly. So what do you do? Do you ever, like, suffer from writer's block?
I do. It's funny. It's really funny. It's like, mm-hmm. I can sit there, and if my mind's not right, it'll take me. And, you know, I'm still new to this, and the Lord's been good to me in a sense that I've been able to strike gold in my first two in full endeavors, but I've realized that you can't force the issue. And I'll sit there, and I could sit there for, you know, 2 months straight and have 10 pages and just can't get it right. But then something will happen, and I can write an entire 100-page script in a week and a half. So it's really one of those things where you just have to, you got to feel it and you have to flow. And then after that, you know, it just kind of, it's like full blown. You're going full speed ahead. But yes, I do. The writer's block, you know, hits you, but then you have to kind of learn, hey, whenever it's time, it's time. Whenever it's not time, you can't force it. Just chill out for a minute, you know?
Okay, so what do you suggest for someone like myself that can't get past one sentence for like 6 months?
You can just have some of my stuff. I'll be your ghostwriter. How about that?
Just give me all the ones that you crumble up and throw away. I'll take the sentences off of those pages.
Yeah, good luck with that. they're in the trash for a reason. But, I mean, for people that feel like they have it in their heart to write, you know, like, you know, I'm a writer. This is what I want to do. And they can't get past that first sentence. Something in the world expires. Something in the world inspires you. It's got to be something. It could be your children. It could be a movie. It could be your. It could be the church. It could be your religion. It could be a song that comes on the radio. That take that experience that expires you, that gets the tear ducts all nice and moist. You know what I'm saying? And take that and then like exploit it. And it sounds kind of hard, but you should. I mean, it's your emotion, so you have a right to exploit it. You don't have a right to exploit somebody else's emotions, but your emotions, yeah, exploit it and then feed off of that, and I guarantee you, you'll get past that one sentence.
And before I forget, Melinda Santiago said to shout you out for her. She just tweeted me that.
That is my, that's my heart. She is so awesome. Like, really,
isn't she?
Like, I mean, I know you guys know her. And
oh, she's
she
amazing.
Has been nothing short of a, like, blessing since, when did I meet? I met her on June 2nd because I met her at one of my plays. And since June 2nd, when I tell you somebody who's experienced and professional and successful in the industry, who doesn't have to give you 5 seconds of her time because she can give it to a multi-platinum selling artist, a writer, or some, you know, somebody who sold a million copies of their books. She can give it to them just as easily, but she gave it to me. She gave me the time. You know what I'm saying? And that's that does not go like unnoticed. Like I'm telling you, she is as genuine as she comes across in the Twitter world and Facebook or Instagram. She is even more genuine in person. So yeah, shout back out to Melinda.
Yeah, she's a beautiful person. Shout out to Sissy.
But tonight is just like, I don't know, guys. Like, I'm just, you know, I have to talk to Miss P. I'm just getting to know you. So
yes.
Hopefully this will be the start of a beautiful friendship. But Kristen, Miss Kristen K, K Bookman, whatever you want to go by, like, I just call you off. She's great. That's all I got to say.
She's amazing. I love her.
Yeah, I'll answer questions now, but I just had to get that out of my heart. She's great.
Aww. Thanks to you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
No problem.
So listen, now give us first the inspiration behind your weight loss and then the story behind your weight loss. And what I'm about to tell you folks, this man lost 160 pounds.
Yay.
160 pounds. Word. As he says, lost a whole nother grown man.
A whole nother grown. I'm not talking about a 12-year-old. I'm talking about a solid 22, 23-year-old. I lost. I did. And it was, you know, I tell people all the time, they're like, how'd you lose it? I'd be like, man, crack don't always kill. But that's not the message I don't want to give to the kids. Well, I didn't smoke crack, okay? Trust me.
I didn't.
I promise you I didn't. I didn't go and get an operation, and I don't follow anybody else that does that, because Lord knows if Blue Cross Blue Shield would have paid for it, if I could have taken it out of my bank account, I sure would have done it, because it would have been a lot quicker and easier to do it. So I don't look down on people to do that. But, you know, the inspiration was, and this is going to be a play, because like I said, you got to pull from your own emotions, because everybody has a story. Everybody's got like 10 or 11 stories, you know. And actually, I was in a 6-year relationship, and I was, you know, 370-odd pounds during that relationship, you know, when we met in college. And we were together for 6 years. And throughout those whole 6 years, she, like, kept me on a yo-yo. Because, you know, one day she was like, oh, I love you. Then the next day she was like, ah, you know, your weight is an issue. I can't be with somebody that's your size. And that tug and pull, that push and pull went on for 6 years. Until finally she just said, you know, we were living together. She just walked into the living room and I was on the computer. And you know, I was on that AOL dial-up, so, you know, you got this and
yes,
that loud noise with the AOL. And actually, after what she said after that, like that, I would have traded that loud screeching AOL connection dial-up for anything in the world, because what she said, like, struck me to the core. When she came in and she was like, you know, this just isn't going to work out. And, you know, when you with somebody for 6 years, the sentence, this isn't going to work out, like, you got to give me more than that, man. It's been 6 years. Like, that don't work. Like, you can't. This isn't going to work out works out for if you've been together for 6 months. For 6 years, nah. But because she said, because of the push and pull, I knew, I didn't have to ask her what it was about, because I knew it was about my weight. And then so I moved out, you know, maybe like a year after that. I was still kind of going through the motions and being like, you know, self-esteem is all low, everything like that. And then one day, it was a Sunday in October, and I'm a huge Cowboys fan, and I remember like it was yesterday, because the Cowboys were playing the Seattle Seahawks. And I said to myself, you know what, I'm just tired of this, because I don't think that I could ever be happy with myself. Not even talking about making somebody else happy, even though there is something to that now, because you have to live healthy in order to make somebody else happy. But even for myself, I can never make myself happy until I make a change. And so I literally went and I ordered an extra large Papa John's chicken Alfredo pizza. And I'm telling you, I ate that joker like in 30 minutes. And I said, that's the last time I'm going to eat like this. So I'm going to go out with a bang. And, you know, God, Lord, thank God I didn't have a heart attack while eating it because it would have been real ironic. But it was the last time I did it. After that, I started just eating salads and fruit. And then it took me about a year, and I ended up losing the 160 in about a year's time. And, you know, I worked out, too. After I lost the first 60 pounds to, no, I'm sorry, the first 100 pounds to lose the last 60, I had to work out. But it was just a lifestyle change because for me, and I can't talk for anybody else. Just, you know, if anybody else is overweight or anything like that, that's cool if you're happy. But it didn't work. Like, I was tired because I had been that way my whole life and everything that comes along with it. I was just tired. It was just time to make a change, and I did. And so far, so good. I mean, you know, it's still a daily battle, but so far, so good.
Excellent. I'm so proud of you, really, because it takes a lot of strength for me not to even eat a Twizzler. Like, I mean, Twizzler, I'm addicted to them. I'm addicted to Twizzler.
You put a Twizzler in my face, and I can't make no promises now. It's a daily battle. You're right. It's something that you just have to maintain every single day, right?
Okay. So
okay,
what do you do?
Kay.
Go ahead, Kay. I'm sorry.
No, I was just gonna say the person that you were in the relationship with at the time. You know, I gotta know. Did she see that?
Don't go there, Kay. Don't go there. Don't.
I don't want to know if there was any interaction. All I'm asking.
I'm curious too.
That's all I want to know is if she saw you. No deep questions. I don't want to know details.
Yes. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Hell yes. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's gratifying, you know what I'm saying? But honestly, I don't have any animosity towards her because, I mean, we were young. We were, like, in our early 20s. She was a teenager. She was, like, 19. I was 20 when we got together. And then, like, 5 or 6 years being together. I mean, you know, that's a lot. You know, when you're that age, especially when you're a woman, your friends and what people think of you and what people are saying, it means a lot. Because it's just, you know, it's about your status in the world and your self-esteem. And so she was going through a lot just being with me. Because we were in college. So, you know, college can be just as cool as elementary school and junior high and high school if you're around the wrong kind of people. So, I mean, I don't totally fault her because she didn't have the maturity to really handle it. But yeah, she did get a chance to see me, and it was a good feeling. But you know, I didn't revel in it, and I moved on from it because you can't stay in the past. You have to move forward. You do.
Absolutely. Again, my hat's off to you because it's a trying thing for me on a daily basis to stay away from Twizzlers. I'm finally making away from coffee, but Twizzlers, I don't know. A tough road.
Have your Twizzlers. I mean, have your Twizzlers. There's a difference between a Twizzler and a triple stack. And see, I was using a triple stack. Eat your Twizzlers. That's fine. You got to eat about 10 bags of Twizzlers to get to my triple stack when it comes to calories. So, yeah. But I mean literally, like, my dinner consisted of a triple stack, which, you know, a triple stack from Wendy's, Junior Bacon Cheeseburger, a Biggie Fry, and a large sweet tea, a Biggie sweet tea, and then I would wash it down with, like, a Biggie milkshake, chocolate milkshake. That was, like, my dinner.
Oh, my.
I wasn't living right. I wasn't right. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't right. And so, when I got to a certain age, I was like, it's just time because I want to be around. I want to have children. I want to get married. I want to do these things. And if I'm killing myself, by what I'm putting in my body, it's just not, like, I'm not, like, I don't know if I'll be here. So it was a very conscious decision. It was.
Wonderful. Okay, so talk to us about the name of your company, Purpose by Design, which happens to be the title of one of my favorite albums by the legendary Mr. Fred Hammond. Was you pursuing your destiny directly influenced by this album?
Oh, you already know.
But I was hoping.
Oh yeah, I was like, you hit the nail on the head. Like, Fred Hammond is my guy. Like, that's my dude. Like, there's no other singer above Fred Hammond. I mean, you can have Usher and his twinkle toes, and you can have, you know, Chris Brown, his dancing in air kind of thing. You could have Neo, and you know his hats. You can have it all, but. Like, give me Fred. Like, that's my dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, I put
why are we so cracking up?
Else.
I don't even.
Y'all know us is tweet up. Like, it's, when us is dancing, I swear to God, his feet never touch the ground. It's amazing. he's like a little elf, like a little leprechaun, like a little magical fairy. Like, he really is. But now Fred is like, I mean, that album, honestly, like. Like, you know how you know, and you guys know this, you know when you have, there's an album or even a song that no matter when you hear it, it immediately takes you back to a certain time in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And that particular album, that was when I was, like, at my lowest point when it came to my self-esteem and the relationship had ended and this, that, and the other. And that album, like, brought me through. You know what I'm saying? And that album was what? Like, I didn't even know about Fred Hammond until that album. And the album had already been released for, like, a couple of years. And I stole it from my sister. And I was like, okay, let me listen to this. And, yeah, so anyway, so that album, like, that was just, and Purpose by Design, I mean, it's perfect because, like, to me, in my opinion and for me personally, like, you can't have a true purpose if you don't know what to do with it. You know, I mean, Miss P, you could say, you know what, hey, I want to have a radio show. Cool, I want to get a radio show.
Mm-hmm.
But then you turn the TV on and watch Basketball Wives Marathon all day. And you don't do nothing with it. I just want to have a radio show. But you just watch TV all day. No, you have to have a design with your purpose. You said, you know what, this is what I want to do. This is how I want to do it. This is what I'm going to do to get it. And this is when I expect to have it done. And from all intents and purposes, you are doing the darn thing, and it was because you had a design with your purpose, and so that's what I wanted to base my company on, and it's working. God is good because it's working.
I love it. I love it. Purpose by Design.
That's
very
one of my
deep.
Favorite albums as well. It's one of my favorite. I love Fred Hammond as well. That album for me would be Spirit of David. That's the album that just really got me. Prodigal Son.
Oh, okay. That's old school. Yeah. You date yourself. Yeah, you date yourself.
I know. That's what I was about to say. Like, hey, come on now. Stop it.
Okay. Hey.
Come on, Kay.
I'm a 1980 baby, and I'm proud of it. I don't mind.
Wait, stop telling people this. No.
I've told people this much my entire life. If you ask my parents, they'll say I probably still do. Blah, 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 blah. Okay.
Sorry.
Right. I love it.
Let's see. Okay, what's been your most discouraging moment thus far on your pathway to pursuing this dream?
The red tape, you know. Like, you just want to make people laugh. That's all I want to do. I just want to make people laugh. I just want to work with great people and find the stage and do our thing and make you laugh, make you forget about everything you're going through, and make you get lost in a series of moments. And you know, the problem is money makes the world go round. And so the red tape of, you know, dealing with company attorneys and dealing with venues and promoters and those kind of things. And those people can be very, like a company attorney can be just as shady as a bookie, you know what I'm saying, or a booking agent. Like, just because he's got a suit on and his hair slicked back doesn't make him any less shady. And just dealing with that, the bureaucracy of it all and the politics of it all and just the technicalities of it all, that's probably the most discouraging moment. But, I mean, like, for example, for our show in April, which was a sellout, it was awesome, but 2 days before the show, the event had been canceled. Like I get an email saying this event's been canceled. And we sold tickets, and we've got the venue, we've paid money, we've got this, that, and the other. And they came back, and the attorney was the company attorney for the venue that we were at said, you know what, we need an extra $2,000 before we can put this on. And this was 2 days before the event, you know. So I'm like, okay.
Wow.
I guess I got to get it, you know, but, and through God's grace, we did it, and we got it done. And I never said anything to any of my cast or anything like that, because that's not their problem. They just got to worry about their lines. Like, that's not they don't have to worry. They shouldn't have to worry about the business end. But we got it done, and it was a successful show. But yeah, that's the one thing that I wish could be a lot, you know, less discouraging. But you know, it's the nature of the beast. So you got to take the good with the bad.
Okay, and that leads right into my next highlight. What's your greatest moment thus far with two plays nearly under your belt?
Well, you know, the greatest moment so far is, you know, one of my partners with Purpose by Design. Shout out to Arian. You know, he's got two boys and a daughter that just turned one. And one thing he said to me, and I didn't even realize until after he said it, he said, you know, we're leaving a legacy right now. And there aren't many people in this world that can honestly say they're leaving a legacy for their children. And he said mm-hmm. that moment when, you know, the crowd jumped up and gave an ovation, and at the end everybody just rushed the stage because they wanted to shake our hands and hug us and take pictures with us. He said, my boys saw every single moment of all this happening. And he said, I know my boys. And they're, you know, I don't know their exact ages, but I would say they're like 6 and maybe 8 years old. 6 and 9 maybe. But he said, I know what they were thinking. Look at Dad. Look what Daddy's doing. Look at the effect Daddy's had on these people. Look at the effect Daddy's work is. You know what I'm saying? So that right there makes me think of my daughter. And like, you know, mm-hmm. that's my greatest accomplishment, because she can, you know, when she's older, she's only 3 now, but when she's old enough, she can look back and say, hey, this is what my dad's left for me. This is the legacy that he's left. Like, he put his mark on this world, and I'm proud of it. I don't have to look to anybody else for inspiration or to model my life after. Like, I can look at what my father did and or he's doing. And so that's what I feel like is my greatest accomplishment so far.
I love it. That is a beautiful legacy. That's got to be an awesome moment. Okay, let's talk a little bit about your first play, Complicated Melody. Tell us a little bit about that one.
Complicated Melody, it's the tag. You know, with our plays, two things that we do. We always have a tagline, and then we also make sure that there's music, like, in it somewhere, you know. And, you know, Kay will tell you just from knowing me on Twitter, you know, music, shout out to, you know, 112, Deron, if you're listening. Hey, oh, boy. like, shout out to 112 and the Fred Hammonds and the Teddy Rileys and the
Twinkle Toes.
Even the Twinkle Toes, you know, keep them toes twinkling, because cause I'm going to meet you one day, Twinkle Toes, and you're going to be in my play, and I'm going to be, I love you, Twinkle Toes. Twinkle Toes twinkling. You know, we try to keep music as a part of everything that we do. You know, we honestly try to keep music as a part. So Complicated Melody, the tagline was, what's a man to do when his love has two different faces? And it's basically about a really good guy who can have all the best intentions in the world, but when you go about things the wrong way, the end result could be the same as if you had the most devious intention. And so the Complicated Melody part of it comes in where he meets a young lady, and she's a manager of artists and a writer for singers, and so music is her thing, it's in her heart, and she doesn't know that he has a past with another woman that he can't get rid of, and so she describes him as her Complicated Melody, because she's like, we can make the most beautiful harmony and the most beautiful music in the world, but for some reason we can't get the harmony right. And there's something so complicated about his melody, and I can't put my finger on it. And she learns that, you know, it's because of the fact that he can't let go of his past and he can't get over his ex-girlfriend. That's pretty. And so, you know, it's all the ups and downs and the twists and turns that come along with that. But, again, the moral of the story is, dudes, handle your business. Like, don't try to move on into the future and you're still holding on to your past, because it never ends pretty. It never ends pretty.
Now, is there a correlation between Complicated Melody and Make Time for Love, or are they completely independent?
They are completely, completely independent. Make Time for Love is just a whole new, and you know, the thing with Make Time for Love, and I definitely want to shout out my cast. Hopefully they'll be calling in and taking part in this in this awesome interview. But my cast, you know, that I had in mind a couple of the actors already that I wanted to work with, so I knew because of the caliber that they that their acting skills were at, I had to come with it. And like with Make Time for Love, it actually, when I started writing it, I had a totally different plot, totally different subject matter, everything. And after the first three pages, it just took a life of its own. It took a total left turn, and it just completely went a whole other direction on what the play was about and what the play was originally intended to be about. And that's why I'm saying when it hits you and it starts flowing, you just got to go with it because it's organic. You know, it's one of those things that becomes a living and breathing thing. And so with Complicated Melody and with Make Time for Love, I mean, they're their own living, breathing entities that, you know, people could probably see some of the similarities because they came from the same person, but they're very, very different in their own right. I mean, Make Time for Love is basically about a woman who's so caught up in her career, so caught up in making sure that her life is structured in a certain way that she can't ever give up that power by making time for love. Because, I mean, I'm sure you ladies know, right, when you fall in love, what do you become most? You become vulnerable. And
yes,
for some people, that's the scariest thing to be, because once you lose that power, once you allow for somebody else to control how you feel, how you think, what you say, what you do, that's some vulnerability right there. I'm gonna get it out. That's being very vulnerable, you know. And that's what Make Time for Love is about. Like she makes time for everything else, but she can't make time for love until she meets that one special someone, and then you know, all hell kind of breaks loose, because then it becomes a battle of what her heart is telling her and what her mind is telling her.
Awesome. Awesome. So we have some of your actors and actresses on the line, so I'm going to start picking them up. And as I call them out, I think this particular person is Dee. So hi, Dee. How you doing? Let's see who else we have on here. We have Kanisha. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yes, that's my director.
Kanisha. How you doing? Hi, Dee. Hi, Kanisha.
Hey, beautiful. How are you?
Good. Oh, wow. Thanks. No, this is not about me. But welcome to the Kay Bookman Hour. How you guys doing tonight?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Thanks.
Awesome.
So, Kanisha is the director. She directed both Make Time for Love and Complicated Melody. And Dee, when I spoke of, hey, I had some actors in mind for Make Time for Love, like, just because, like, Dee is, he's it. Like me and Dee, we're going to get this money. Like it's that serious. Like, Dee is phenomenal, phenomenal.
Exactly. So,
thank you. I appreciate that, man.
All right,
yeah, so, Dee, let's start with Dee. Dee, you know, so what's your role in the movie? A little bit. You don't have to tell a lot.
In Make Time for Love or Complicated Melody?
Either one.
Make Time for Love.
Make Time for Love.
Make Time for Love, my role is a guy that thinks less of himself and his wife to go out and do what he want to do and still think everything will be okay at home. The typical man stuff in the world. We don't appreciate nothing, and we don't value nothing.
So did you think that this character was, like, ideal for you? Did you relate to this character as, like, characteristics of your own? You could be truthful. No.
Well, I mean, I'm going to be honest. You know, I've been through some things. I've done some things that I'm not proud of, but I'm not ashamed as well. So, yes, I think it's fitting.
Yeah, and Kanisha, how was it, you know, directing the movie? That had to be exciting.
Well, it definitely was. Let me just give you a little bit of a feedback. I was actually just going to help out any way that I could with the play. Anyway, if he wanted me to sweep the floor, wrap cords, I was going to do it just to be a part of this, because I believed in him. I knew it was going to be great, and I said, whatever you need me to do, just let me know. So he came to me, and he's asking me all these questions. He's like, so how many movies have you been in? How many plays have you done? How long have you been studying? I'm like, where are you going with this? He's like, I need you to direct. I'm like, oh, okay, sure. And I'm thinking, really? You want me to do this? I said, okay, you know what, wherever I'm needed, that's where I'll go. And it brought something out of me that I didn't even know I had it. I didn't even know I had it in me. So Jack is like, oh, yeah, come meet your boss. You'll be great. I'm like, I'm not bossy all the time. I'm okay, all right, okay. And I felt, like, so at home. It was, like, with not a struggle just to get in there and do it. And I've had a wonderful time. I haven't looked back, and I just got to keep thanking Jack for believing in me and giving me a chance. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Wait, did you just expose his name?
Yes, she did. She said my slave name, but that's okay.
She said my slave name,
but that's all right. You know, so now the family know who I am, so it's cool. It's cool. But now Tanisha, I mean, her ability to direct. I mean, she sees things that people just don't see. You know, it's like the Matrix. It's like she sees these things that nobody else can see. And knows it, and,
wow.
And when she's in rehearsal, like, I'm good. And, you know, Make Time for Love, Complicated, those are my babies, you know. And so if you're going to leave your child with someone and be good and not think twice about it, that tells you about the person that you're leaving them with. And same way with D, you know, the script is my baby, and I can give it to D and be like, all right, D, there you go, dude, roll with it. And it's seamless. It is literally seamless. It really is.
Well, me and Kate Bookman need a role for Angry Women or something in the next one. Just saying, putting it out there in the universe.
Look, all you got to do is drop a hint, and it's been dropped. Now, be careful now, because once you're in, you're all in.
I mean, he's going to put you where he thinks you will most be outside of your box. You know, like, you know what? I think I'm going to make her this, and you're going to be like, what? But, hey, you signed up for it, and you're
going
to have a wonderful time. So bring them on.
Yay. We got roles,
Kay.
We got roles.
You guys got to come out to the play. I mean, you know what? You're not in Atlanta, are you? You can't come out to the play.
No, not in Atlanta.
We're going to be nationwide sooner rather than later. I promise you that. So we'll come to you. But for anybody that's in Atlanta, you know, it's October the 6th, which is a Saturday after next. We have two shows at 4 and 8 p.m. at the Balzer Theater, which is in downtown Atlanta. It's going to be a great time. It really is. And again, you know, Kenesha and Dee, and we've got DeJuan Paxton is playing the lead role of Eric, and Brittany Smith is playing the lead role of Sierra, and I have Raquel Grant playing Dee's wife in the play. And they are hilarious together. I mean, they are like 10 the whole show. They are on.
Yeah, that's
you know, I can't forget. Oh, yeah, that's his boo. I mean, I can't forget Stephanie Jennings. She plays Janae, and she is going to be
absolutely.
The one that everyone is going to love to hate. Like, it's going to be really awesome. I promise you guys. I promise you.
Yeah, so tell people where they can go to get these tickets and to stay in tune with you guys.
Okay, well, they can, as far as for the plays, they can go to Purpose X Design. You know, the X stands for buy, so it's Purpose, the letter X, design.com. They can also go to PXD as in David, blog.com to catch up on all our YouTube videos and our blogs and whatnot. But the main place to go for tickets and just the one-stop shop, again, is Purpose. The letter X, design.com.
That is beautiful, because I'm on your site right now, and I want to know, before I let you guys go, or before Kay Bookman lets you guys go, Make Time for Love by
Jay Michelle.
Who picked the music? I love it.
You know, it's we're working with a great team called Creative House Music. And basically, we have a partnership. Like I say, any production that we do, we want music to be a large part of it, because that's what's in our hearts. And so we've teamed up in a partnership with Creative House Music, And what we do is we say, hey, we need it. All of our plays have soundtracks, which is something very unique for a play, because usually only movies will have a soundtrack. But all of our plays have soundtracks of original music. And we go to them for production. And what they did was I said, hey, this is the subject of the play. This is the title of the play. I need a theme song. They went into the lab one night. Then Michelle came in. She knocked it out. She wrote it. Nick Rice produced it. And it was magic, just that quick. When you're working with good people and they're like-minded, it's just such an honor when they come in and they create something for you because of you. The whole cast, myself, Kenesha, our stage manager, Tania Wright, we're just honored because, Kenesha's music, they're doing it big. They are doing it. That production, that music, you can tell it wasn't made in the closet with a couple of drum pads and a Casio keyboard. I mean, it's quality.
It wasn't dishes in the background. No dishes. It wasn't.
No, it wasn't dishes. It wasn't. Nobody was playing the spoons in the background. It was nothing like that. You know what I'm saying?
No kids were getting yelled at. You know, it was official.
Right. Nobody, mama was coming in saying, "Take the trash out, boy." You know, I've been telling you, you've been living in my basement for too long. And nah, none of that. Like, it's official.
Exactly.
It's official.
Exactly. So I love it. I think it's nice. I really do, the way it flowed and everything. So, awesome. And I just wanted to ask permission to keep it in rotation.
I'll keep it in rotation. You got it. Like, the more love we can spread, and the message is real, you know. You got it. No matter, we get caught up in day-to-day things when love really is the basis for how this world came about, how most people in the world were conceived, you know, was through love. So love literally makes the world go around. So you got to make time for it. So I mean, that song is going to be timeless. The message is timeless. Now I do have to ask, because anyone else from the cast called in? Because if not, you know, I'm gonna make them run 10 laps around the rehearsal studio.
Okay, let's see. Oh, we have 8. I think this is Raquel. Am I pronouncing
Raquel?
It right? Raquel. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. I don't want to get into a cat fight. You on the air, Raquel? How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So tell us a little bit about your roles.
Well, I play Shay, Bobby's wife, but she's the typical female, typical woman looking for love and wants to be loved and unfortunately has thought she found it, at least. And the wrong person. She's married to him. She loves him, but he just won't do right. So,
do you fight him? No, I'm just kidding. But
she does behind the scenes. She does.
No. In this class, he slaps him in the back of the head a couple times because you know you got it. And but the play again, it's all good fun. It's hilarious. It's ignorant but real. But it teaches. It's a huge lesson. Without being preachy, you know what I'm saying? Without being preachy, it'll tell you how you should carry yourself and how you should treat people by the end of the night. You'll walk away from it knowing a whole lot more than you did when you came into it.
Absolutely. So do you feel like you identify with your character, Raquel?
Oh, my God, yes.
How so?
Minus the marriage, yes. I've been in quite a few of those relationships where the man just won't get right. For some reason, they just don't want to get right.
You sure it's
Do
not
you? Do you recommend shock therapy?
Oh, my God. Yes, especially for Bobby.
Nah, Raquel, DX, you sure it's not you?
You sure it's not you?
I'm not listening. Notice how I ignored Bobby.
She's still in character. They just got a rehearsal, guys, so they're still in character right now.
Let me make a comment. I have said for a while that Bobby and Shay's chemistry is, like, so right. They go together so well. I said we so are rooting for them. We want them to make it. We don't know if they're going to make it. I guess you got to come to the play and see. But I have said, like, you guys, I definitely love the way you guys work together. You guys make me laugh and cry, and I get really emotional. You guys are so much fun. I love you guys.
Thanks,
for real.
I keep trying to call him Bobby. D is, he gives me that energy. It's fun to work off of D and what he brings to the set. It's hilarious.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And you're not too shabby yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not too shabby. You're not too shabby. So, Kay Bookman, you want to take over?
Well, I don't really have anything to interject. I've just been enjoying and getting in the character with everyone and getting my synopsis, since I won't be in Atlanta on October 6th to be a witness to this event. But I've been enjoying this little sample, if you will. Mm-hmm. And really, I can feel the love and the energy amongst you guys, and it's wonderful to be a part of.
It's definitely real. I don't want to be remiss in mentioning DeJuan, who played DeJuan Paxton, and Brittany Smith. They play the lead roles of Eric and Sierra. And when I tell you, anyone that comes to see this play, they will go through every single emotional ups and downs that comes along with love when they see Eric and Sierra doing their thing and reacting and being in a relationship with each other. The audience is going to be so wrapped in the realness that Brittany Smith and DeJuan Paxton bring to it. It's going to be it's something to behold. Like, literally, it's we get emotional every single night in rehearsal in their scenes. Mm-hmm. He cries.
Yeah,
I would love to.
Right.
No.
I'm kidding. He does. No, he's a thug. Real thugs don't cry.
Yeah.
I know it.
Yeah, Shay beat up on me.
Do you ugly cry? Do you ugly cry? Do you cute cry?
He ugly cries.
That's it.
Is that funny? Okay. Yeah, honestly, I did nothing wrong. I cry. I try to cry once a month. It's cleansing.
Once a month?
Yeah, literally. And you know
it's
what does
schedule.
Fred Hammond. I put the Fred Hammond on and I cry. And a man needs to learn. I'm a firm believer. A man needs to learn how to cry. And I'm not talking about the ugly cry. I'm not talking about the Halle Berry at the Academy Awards cry. I'm talking about the single tear down the cheek.
While
you know, you scrunch your lip up a little bit. You might bite your bottom lip a little bit. And your eyes might burn a little bit, but it's cleansing.
Just a little
but
bit.
Yeah, you got to release, man. You got to release.
Absolutely. So again, tell everyone where they can purchase their tickets at. And I just have one more question before you do that. Will it be like taped? Will people
yes,
be able
we
to
are
buy
having
it?
It's professionally recorded and so it's going to be available on DVD in probably about 3 weeks after the production date of October 6th. It'll be available on DVD and you know, we're a group, we're not looking to sell it. At this point, one day we will, but you know we'll allow people to people who are in the circle like you and Kay to have a copy of it, and then you know once we hit the road and go nationwide, then we'll start spreading it to the masses. But yeah, that's the goal, is to we are having it professionally recorded, and for tickets, like I said, purposexdesign.com. You can go there, and again, that's the one stop shop. You can get your tickets there. You can download the song "Make Time for Love." You can look at that behind the scenes. You can look at our web series that we have for Complicated Melody. You can look at everything that Purpose by Design is doing. It's a really fun place to go to, and it's a really great thing to experience. So I definitely, you know, advise everyone to go to it. You'll be happy you did.
Well, I have to just read this tweet real quick before we close. Okay, it's from Melinda Santiago. If you ever write in a Latina housekeeper who complains, call her. Time for love. Laugh out loud.
Yes, Melinda, I will not insult you by trying to make you a housekeeper. You will be a CEO. You'll be like the female Jay-Z on them. That's what she's going to be. I want to make her a multimedia mogul in my next play.
Exactly, and she'll have one like the lime bottoms. You know how they have the red bottoms? She and I always joke about who can afford those things. We're going to spray paint our bottoms of our shoes.
Oh, yeah,
so.
Oh, yeah. I call them Sharpie bottoms. Just get a red Sharpie, work it out.
Yes, we're going to put some sharks on the bottom of them, some lime green ones, and then put her in the play. Put us all in the play.
We got it. Now, Melinda thinks I'm joking. She's going to. I already have a role for it. It's a play called Pieces of Me. And I already have her role ready. I just haven't talked to her about it yet, but she will get a call.
She will
okay.
get a call.
Wow. And she's tuned in, so she's listening. So I know.
Oh, yeah, Linda.
She's ready.
Listen to me. That's the next play, and that's what you're going to be in. You're going to be playing a lady by the name of Kimberly. You're going to be one of the lead roles, so just get ready.
Yay,
Whoa.
Sissy. That's exciting. I can't
yes,
wait to see that.
Girl.
I wish my job was that easy. Why didn't you give your job that easy, Jack?
Yeah, yeah. We make the audition for everything he gets, but he blows it away every time. He knocks it out the box every time. So, you know, we can't. He's not allowed to audition for anything else, D, I promise.
Hey, I'd appreciate you anyway, man. So it's all good.
Hey, thank you, sir.
We just want to thank you all for joining us on the Kay Bookman Hour. Kay?
All right. Well, we appreciate you.
Thank
you, guys.
Thank you so much for joining us.
No problem. Thank you.
Yeah, and we're excited to, you know, about your launch and everything, and we'll, you know, help support it. So just keep us in tune to everything so we can continue to see one another prosper in our journeys going forward, because I'm excited for you guys, and I know you guys are too. So good luck with everything, and keep us in the loop.
Thank you.
Keep us in tune.
We will. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. P. Thank you, Kay.
Thank
you.
You too.
Ladies.
Thank
You're
you
welcome.
So much.
Thank you so much.
Yay! So I'm so excited that went so well. And you know what's so wonderful about it, Kay, is that everyone seemed like they get along swimmingly with each other.
Exactly.
No phoniness.
The good energy was palpable. No phoniness. You could tell they really cared about each other. The director, that young lady, I can't quite recall her name, but I just felt something
Kanisha.
About her. Yeah, she's
mm-hmm.
so sincere. I could feel her sincerity. And so it just seems like everybody's just beautifully linked up together. Seems like everybody's where they're supposed to be. This was his
Absolutely.
Path, got everything in order, and boom, they're headed for the stars. I love
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. So that has been another Kay Bookman Power Hour with Purpose by Design. So for all you guys that missed it, definitely get in tune with them and follow them on their website at www.purposexdesign.com. There you can click for tickets, you can listen to Make Time for Love, you can, you know, follow up on them, on what they do, their production, multimedia, you can contact them. Just stay in tune. And if you're in Atlanta on October 6th between 4 and 8 p.m., be sure to tune in. It's at the Blazer Theater. At the Heron, I think that's how you pronounce it, Herons, 84 Lucky Street, Atlanta. Be there. Kay Bookman, just thank you for everything. It's an amazing show. You had amazing guests, and I enjoyed myself tonight. With the twinkle toes.
I enjoyed myself listening as well. The twinkle toes, hilarious. I told you, he is just hilarious.
I'm going to be saying that all weekend. Twinkle toes.
Yeah, every time I see Usher, I'm going to go, twink, twink, twink.
Well, that's my husband on the low, but don't tell nobody. Twinkle Toes is my husband.
Mrs. Twinkle Toes, I see.
Mrs. Twinkle Toes over here. No, but anyway, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to the Kay Bookman Power Hour. We look forward to seeing you guys on the next one. Stay in tune with us because we definitely want to stay in tune with you. Kay, any parting words?
Yes, really quick. I want to give a shout out to my mommy because I forgot her on my first show. And also, I just want to tell you guys, head on to vibe.com and check out Michael Keefe's blog. I'm just saying. He's giving relationship advice. You know, leave a comment, leave some feedback. He's doing an excellent job doing big things on vibe.com. So big shout out to Michael Keefe. And also a special shout out to Tweet from Next. I appreciate your support and I appreciate you tuning in. So just wanted to give those special recognitions. And also,
Absolutely.
Shout out to Melinda Santiago as well. I appreciate all the love.
Absolutely. Shout out to Dottie. Shout out to Melinda. Shout out to Princey. Shout out to Next. Shout out to you, Kay Bookman, for being so amazing, as usual. And shout out to our guest
Thank
tonight.
You.
Thank
yes,
you.
Shout out to J. Dot Carter.
Yes.
I love
we love them all. And we look
yeah.
forward to, you know, the next show where everybody will be in tune. And if you tuned in for the first time, don't let it be your last. Stay in tune with us. Ms. P and Kay Bookman, the Power Hour. We're over and we're out. Have a good night, Kay.
Have a good night.
Have a good night, babies. And-
Nothing like the mother bird.
Not at all.
What you ain't heard?